We gather together to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. We gather together also to honor his bride, Mamika, who has been committed to him, consecrated to him for 25 years. Our gospel and our first reading feature two women, neither of them in particularly envious positions. The first has lost 7 sons, the second has lost 7 husbands. I don't know how much Mamika has lost. Hopefully not quite 7 husbands and 7 sons, but certainly what comes through ultimately is the gift of the resurrection for both the mother of the sons of Maccabee and also for the fictitious wife in the gospel. What comes through is the gift of the resurrection and the power of the resurrection. All of us know Mamika to various degrees, and we know how tremendously gifted she is. It seems that there is practically nothing she doesn't know, and anything that she knows, she seems to know at the absolute level of mastery from every perspective. But the readings also direct us toward what is most essential about her, and really what is most essential about us, which is not the productive, but the relational. Our readings lead us into the relational elements, first of all, thinking of those who are neither married nor are given in marriage, because they're looking forward to a marriage that is not just for a lifetime in the sacrament of marriage, but a marriage that is for eternity. That is the consecration she lives. That is the devotion that she has for Christ, the bridegroom. That is the motivation for her actions and her burning passion. And a motherhood that transcends physical motherhood, the mother of the 7 sons, ultimately has a heart open, as really every mother's heart is open to have much more even than those 7 sons or however many children she's gifted with. And I certainly had the chance to witness that in Mamika at the seminary, and I know that it still takes place here. Even some of the students here are a testimony to that. A heart that is open to motherhood, a bridal heart, a motherly heart. These are the most beautiful qualities, and qualities that Mamika also holds up for us and gives witness to. Our Lord also leads us into qualities that are very fundamental for all of us. Again, more than the productive, the relational, and even most essential in the relational, our identity and our destiny. Jesus says that we are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And those two elements, what I'd like to zoom in on a little bit more for each one of us. Children of God and children of the resurrection. As children of God, this is our fundamental identity, an identity that we were immersed into in baptism. Jesus gives this explanation of the God of the living, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so they are part of his name. The name of God includes Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And by baptism, we are baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In a very real way, then, we are also here gathered to worship the God of Mamika, or the God of Boniface, or the God of each one of you. In baptism, we are immersed into his name. And this is the fundamental relationship as children of God. No matter how productive we are, no matter how much we accomplish, or no matter how much we suffer or how much we struggle, no one can take this identity from us. This is the foundation. No matter how much we lose, all of us, I think, are fairly upright and mobile, thanks be to God. All of us will end up, in varying degrees, immobile and eventually 6 feet under. In all of that, we never lose this fundamental identity that we are children of God. We didn't earn it. And no one can take it from us. And as long as we don't renounce it, we will never lose it. It is pure gift. We celebrate 25 years of perseverance and much that Mamika has done, but it's built on that pure gift of what God has done in Christ, what he has done for her and what he has done for each one of us to make us his own children. St. Gregory of Narek, recently minted doctor of the church, speaks very beautifully about this. We don't earn this. We don't deserve it. He praises God, saying, "There was a time when I was not, and you created me. I had not prayed, yet you made me. I had not yet come into the light, yet you saw me. I had not appeared, yet you took pity on me. I had not invoked you, yet you cared for me. I had not signaled, yet you looked at me. I had not craved your pardon, yet you had mercy on me. I had not breathed a word, yet you heard me. I had not sighed, yet you listened. Even though you knew what would now happen to me, you did not despise me. Even after considering with your foreseeing gaze the offenses of the sinner that I am, you nonetheless formed me." This is our deepest identity, and it is pure gift. And then Jesus tells us also, we are children of God, children of the resurrection. How is one a child of the resurrection? It's a very strange statement. My Father is the resurrection. But what does it mean to be a child? To be a child is to be related to derive life from someone, ordinarily. But to be a child of the resurrection is to derive life from the resurrection, to live from the resurrection, which ultimately means a new birth to a living hope. It is our destiny. And even though none of us have experienced the resurrection, at least in its fullness, none of us are dead yet, I don't think. None of you anyway. We still derive life from the resurrection through hope. That hope is powerful and sets a direction for our life, our destiny. God has planted in us something so deep, Pope Benedict called it a nostalgia for heaven. A nostalgia we think of as looking back, and yet there's a memory in us that looks forward, a memory in us that has been planted by Christ, a nostalgia for the future. And hope is the power that moves us through tremendous struggles and difficulties. It is being a child of the resurrection, which has also been a strength for Mimica in all that she has gone through, that she is able to look forward and in hope know that God is able to transform all things. A couple weeks ago, Pope Francis spoke about the resurrection as the sign of God's extreme love. In our day, we have extreme sports, but Pope Benedict speaks about extreme love. The resurrection is the sign of God's extreme love because he restores all things in the resurrection. All things. So many things that seem so broken in each of our lives, by our own doing and by what others have done to us and around us. I was giving thanks to God today that I was preaching to all of you, and so I wouldn't be compelled to say something about the election on Tuesday, but I'm sure that we'll all feel and already feel, can even God restore this? God restores all things in the resurrection, and whatever the pain and struggles that we have experienced, the resurrection has a power to move us through, and holding on to that hope, that nostalgia for the future, being children of the resurrection, who are not hindered by fear, who are not held back by all the things that could go wrong or the ways that we could fail, who are not paralyzed by all the things that we can't do or haven't done or someone else has prevented us from doing. Children of the resurrection have a way of breaking through and living with hope that moves us through the greatest struggles. That is our destiny. Pope Francis spoke so beautifully about this in The Joy of the Gospel. Allow me to read a few lines. He says, "Christ's resurrection is not an event of the past. It contains a vital power which has permeated this world. Where all seems to be dead, signs of the resurrection suddenly spring up. It is an irresistible force. Often it seems that God does not exist. All around us, we see persistent injustice, evil, indifference, and cruelty. But it is also true that in the midst of darkness, something new always springs to life and sooner or later produces fruit. On raised land, life breaks through, stubbornly yet invincibly. However dark things are, goodness always reemerges and spreads. Each day in our world, beauty is born anew. It rises transformed through the storms of history. Values always tend to reappear under new guises, and human beings have arisen time after time from situations that seem doomed. Such is the power of the resurrection. And may I say that in the little community of Totus Tuus, we see an example of that, the way that life breaks through, the way that God breathes new life into situations that are difficult, broken. And certainly in Mamika, I think we see so powerfully a witness of the resurrection. Truly a child of God and a child of the resurrection. She's an inspiration to all of us. And we pray for the next 25 years. I was at a Silver Jubilee that Father Bob McCreary was preaching, and I know how much you love him, so I'm happy to make him present by remembering his words. He said, "A silver jubilee is great. It means that we've carried through our first fervor, but a golden jubilee is amazing because after experiencing the 25 years, you know what's still to come, and still they persevere." So we pray for her also to continue inspiring us and to continue spreading the power of the resurrection. Pope Francis said, "Such is the power of the resurrection, and all who evangelize are instruments of that power." May Mamika continue to be an instrument of that power, locally and broadly, through all that she does, faithful to her consecration, to her relationship with God, as child, as bride, and as mother.